So over the last 2 weeks, we had a chance to see the first two sifim of Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadi Vav, which laid out a lot of the core principles, how we paskin in terms of Tov HaCharef issues, in terms of how deep it goes, and that was the machlokas la'alacha, in terms of that we are concerned about Ein Yomo, we are concerned about Belia, even if it's clean, and we are concerned that Ein Ben Yomo, though occasionally we will be Mitzari, Ein Ben Yomo to Svek Sveka. And Sveiz, there was a fourth issue which was raised, which is that there are Rishonim who question how broadly we would cast our net in terms of which minim are considered to be davar. One layer of that is that in the Ein Ben Yomo issue, Baitosis coined the Maharam Gutenberg. Baitosis the Rosh, it said, look, maybe there's a difference between Chiltis and Sinon. Maybe Chiltis is super hard. Only Chiltis has this quality of Bulia Bakulo. Only Chiltis has this quality it converts to Ein Ben Yomo, that Machil Lashwa. Then, the Tosis had said, garlic, onions, and so forth, meaning that don't appear in Chazal are still Dvar Harifin, although there is this opinion of Ben Yechiel of Paris that it's only those two or three items that Chazal mentioned, namely Chiltis, and Sinon, and Silka. So we assume the other minim are included as well. So a whole series of examples in Siv Beis. Baitosis examples, Rishonim B'Tzalim and Creation, and then other Rishonim spoke about, some of the Rishonim from Provence spoke about pickled fruit or sour fruit, and the Dagim Aluchim, lox, herring. And the Shachet said, we don't mean lox, we don't mean herring. If it's because maluach, it has to be really, really very salty. Something that's, a typically edible amount of salt, that's not called a davar charef. If it's profoundly salty, that's when it's going to be called a davar charef. Okay. In the last three se'ifim of the siman, se'ifim gimel, dalet, and hey, so we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch talking about, the Shulchan Ramah talking about, I was see from Gimel and Dalet, we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch Ramah talking about some additional cases that Rishonim raised, and we'll see how some of these issues interplay, and one or two new issues as well. And the sharper definitions, sorry, no pun intended there, the sharper definitions of some of the key factors. And then Sif Hey, the last Sif in the Siman, is going to circle back to the non-charef part of the Gemara. So let's take a look. Sif Gimel. Tavlin Sheni Dochu B'Meducha Shel Basar. This is the base Yosef quotes from the Baitosis when they were from the Sefer Truma. Tavlin Sheni Dochu B'Meducha Shel Basar Ben Yomo Asr La'achlam B'Chala. If I have spices that were ground in a grinder, think of a mortar and pestle. I have a fleishika mortar and pestle. I have a fleishika grinder. Then I use it for spices. And the Bechaber says that is a problem. It makes it fleishika if it's a ben yomo. And the Ramah says I feel ain't a ben yomo. Now the first point to realize is the Vilna Gaon points out in Sif Katan Beis, if he's differentiating between Ben Yomo and Ben Yomo, it's worth pointing out that means we're assuming that's clean. Meducha Mestam Mekudachas. That's why Ein Ben Yomo Mechav is going to make on Ein Ben Yomo. So the Ramah says even Ein Ben Yomo is a problem. So the Gra points out in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, the Svara HaAchrona Shebesif Aleph. So first the Gross said, look, this seems like this is a classical machlokes. We had the Sifaf. The Mechaber presented two opinions about whether it's only a Ben Yomo or we machmer in a Ben Yomo. Yesh Omrim. So here the Rama is telling us, what do you know? He's telling us, once again, the Ein Ben Yomo is a problem. Then the Gra goes on to say, even the Mechaber, now it's interesting that the Mechaber, it might be bothered, it's if all of the Mechaber presented two opinions. Ben Yomo, V'yesh or Ein Ben Yomo. So all of a sudden here the Mechaber is cutting it out, so maybe he's indicating, he's tipping his hand, or the Gra goes on to say, in the Likud, that when he says that Tavlin are... are a problem. The Tavlin only problem is Ben Yomo. Keteret Hasmag the Bedaver Yavesh Dafke Ben Yomo. He says maybe the Mechaber found the opinion that's quoted from the Smag of Moshe Mikutzi, one of the Bali Atosos, that when it comes to something dry like spices, then there's no din of Machil Shvach. There's no din of anybody. The din of Ben Yomo is limited to when there's some fluid. Okay, so that limits what the Gra is accomplishing, is limiting the applicability of the Mechaber, and the Mechaber is not locked in to the opinion that the Ein Ben Yomo is not a problem. By something dry, Ein Ben Yomo is not a problem. And the Rama is telling us clearly, for Ashkenazim, wet or dry, chiltus or not chiltus, Ein Ben Yomo is a concern. There's another point worth making here, which is to think about the grinder. The number one, that first comment of the Gra that we're talking, clearly we're assuming that it's mistam mekunachas. That's important because my image of a grinder is, I don't know, a lot of grooves and it's sort of this like old-fashioned. It's going to be all dirty and it's going to be all, you're not going to be able to clean it out. So the Gra has pointed out, clearly they were talking about something nice and smooth and clean.
Well, isn't a mortar and pestle more smooth in general?
Right, so I guess the doctor would know, because after all, that's what you guys, those are the tools you guys use. Yes. Oh, sorry, only pharmacists use the mortar and pestle. Yes, apparently it is. Apparently your image is correct, my image is incorrect. Here's another point, which is something that the Shach points out. Yosef cut in Yitches. Tavon sheni dochu, v'hu adin melech sheni doch, v'chol shar dvar machrifim. Okay, so anything that's sharp, we said in the previous Sif, in Sif Beis, that the dagim aluchim are considered to be done a harv. We just mentioned before, the Shach says only if it's, you know, particularly salty. But obviously, a hunk of salt, it doesn't get much saltier than pure salt. So grinding salt or grinding other dvarim harifin, that's the problem. Then the Shach says, v'davka nidochu. Avalokish ayu nesunim v'meduch ha-shabasar kidil le'el sif sof sivin tzadiyein kufein orachayim tafim v'zayin sivav. That's a really important point. What the Shach just said is to generalize this far beyond the specifics of Tavlin Sheni Dochum V'duch Shabbasar. The Yisod, it's kind of in the Sif, is a definition of Duch D'Sakina. To review, as we've already seen, here the Shulchan Aruch is laying it out, that he says there are many Chidushim of Dabar Har. But the primary chiddush of Dabar Charif, of course, is that it is a method of Liyah. One of the methods of time transfer, so without heat, and without Maliyah Kerasah, without Kavish Kimushal, Dabar Charif is an independent force to drive time transfer, but it's only Dabar Charif plus Nukhid Sakin. That's what come across the path. Here the Shulchan Aruch is saying it. The Shach is saying it. Feirish. So if I have, we had this earlier as well. If I'm spooning my mustard, it's not a problem. It's dafka when I'm what? So Duchat Sakina up until now has been cutting. Here the Shach is pointing out, on the other hand, we're expanding Duchat Sakina to include blunt force as well. You know, there's no wedge. Well, that's the same. Meduchah is not quite the same pressure, it's not the same type of pressure as a knife, or even a fork. I'm not spearing it. There's no wedge. It's just blunt hitting or rubbing, scraping. But that too is considered the duchat de sakina. If I merely put my if I merely use the, which one is the cup, the mortar or the vessel? The cup. That if I just put the spices, pre-ground spices in, assuming it's clean, nothing's happening.
So if it's always some sort of blunt course, sometimes, maybe other people don't do this, sometimes if you only have the fork, take the fork, you turn it on the side, and you're going to, like, cut something with the fork. Is that all of a sudden the halakh of the sakina?
If what you're cutting is a davar charis.
Yeah, so I'm saying, a fork that you're cutting, you cut a knife with the side of an onion with the side of your fork, we're going to invoke the sakina there?
I think it's a kalshke. In other words, cutting with a fork
requires more
is in between a knife and the meducha. Meducha is mamash, just blunt fork. You're not cutting anything. Here, you are wedging it. It's just not quite as sharp as a knife. But the point is really that the language, again, the language of the Gemara, which I think we had seen in Daf Ches, right? Not later. The language of the Gemara ben ducha de sakina. It's the pressure.
And also, when we talk about like a fleshik knife, I don't know if we've addressed this. What makes the knife fleshik? Is it time you cut a cold piece of meat with your fleshik?
Good question.
Knife?
So I know it has to be. This we had seen at the very beginning. It has to have come in contact. It has to have, well, it depends. Well, it has to have bleas. Unless you're dealing with shamnunis karajal. If it's clear on the surface, it has to have bleas, which is why we kept seeing references to cutting hot meat. I take meat off the grill and I slice it.
So don't cut the sakina by itself without it being hot would not be considered. That would be a question.
Because the meat, that's an interesting point. I guess it depends what type of meat you're cutting. If you have cold, very peppery meat, let's say I have
corned beef.
Right, my charcuterie. Right. So I have this, a very spicy jerky. Again, maybe it takes us back also to the base. How salty is salt? Just the fact that it's the equivalent of lox. But if it's a really, like a heavily pepper, a very peppery piece of meat, cold meat, and I slice it, a very strong pastrami maybe, and I slice it. So then it could be the davar charif. We assume, Alpi Pasha, that davar charif is mavli in both directions. Right, so you're right. So then the knife would have become a formerly powered knife become fleshig, and then the next time you use it clean on onions or on your soy pastrami, it'll make it fleshig. Whatever, a davar charif, which is powered.
Pastrami is you cut something powered.
Right.
And we won't say not for not.
Exactly. Again, the chidushim of davar charif are number one, the bleib itzonin. Number two, that we're ignoring not by now. That's how we pass the second day in Rashi. Number three is Eve Eino Benyamo. And I think there was a fourth added Chiddush also. That was definitely the three major. Right? Was there a fourth one? Definitely the three major issues. Can break out a little more the fact that we assume there's a Blia. That when there's a bliya, the bliya is clean. Okay, but the major issues are the bliya, but so that requires a combination of davar charif and duchas sakina, as well as ignoring in ben yomo and ignoring aprana. Okay, now, sif dalet. So sif, yeah, question. Go for it.
This is only talking about
lefakila, saying
that meaning this is tablet and that's basa. So it's like low. So what are we talking about when we see it? We're talking about that you have some pepper that you ground up with a fleshik mortar and pestle. Right. Now that pepper has a status of basa. So it's saying the chatzila, don't put it into your milk.
Oh. So this is interesting.
Because if not, then it's going to be basa. Meaning it's bidyevit, it's basa. No?
Right, so that's an interesting point. I think you actually raised something fascinating, which is the following. You're right. Usually, spices ought to be batel b'shishim. I mean, quantitatively, if there's enough pepper that's not batel b'shishim, the food is inedible anyways. Right? Now, lamasa, spices are not batel b'shishim because the milsa vila taima. But you raise an interesting question. let's say I have a spice that was boleya a little bit of tam basar. Whether it was boleya tam basar because it was ground in a fleshic grinder, or let's say we're going to get to in the next simon, the last sif of the last simon in Bas B'Challah is going to be about a flavor absorption through steam. Something that came with Sadi Beis is coming in ovens. That's the last, next, the last sif. So let's say I had a pot of chicken soup and I was salting the chicken soup, and I had the salt shaker or the spice bottle in the steam. So it could be that makes it fleshic. Now I have fleshic spices. However, the fleshic spices became fleshic. I have fleshic spices. And now I put them into some food. So would you say that it's baka b'shish or not? For l'chora, you really should, because the pepper itself is par. Just as the pepper was boleya, it's hambasar. Al pi pashtas, the tam basar is on most of the time, huh? I have pepper with some basar riding on it. Now, you might also suggest that for Ashkenazim, there might be a difference between a meducha shal basar and meducha shal iser. Because meducha shal basar, again, we don't say chanan, even Ashkenazim agree, we don't say chanan on beheter. So I don't say that the entire flake of pepper became nepach lios chalav, but nepach lios basar in this case. But if it was a meducha shel iser, if I had a trefa grinder, then I should say that it's Ashkenazim hol chanan b'shari surim. It's not just that it's kosher a pepper with a blia of tarfus. It's trefa pepper. Nafkamina might be. Usually we say nafkamina, do I need shishim connected the item or just the bliya? Now it's worse because the item itself isn't even bought to a shishim. So if this is becomes nepach lios trefa pepper, so then it's the milsav yidol taima. It's not being bought to a few specks of pepper will trefa everything up. But if it's just a question of milk and fleshik, you don't say chana. So then I think
the lashon of shahara is
you can't eat it b'chal.
It says kavan shalom yadocha shal basar asher la'achlam b'chal. It didn't sound like it already happened. I thought it was. I thought
we definitely can't mix it in. That's for sure.
Right. The question is
because that's englat as
right. Exactly. But I thought that you can't mix it in. But once you mixed it in, it wasn't clear to me that I wouldn't have thought that it's obvious that it's asher to eat. I would have thought that.
Maybe it is.
I know, but the Shulnar, it's sort of both ways. What is Shulnar?
It's unclear whether that's like on the Tachila situation or whether it already happened.
Yeah.
He's not taking a stand.
On whether it's this is a Tachila or B'dieved.
You're definitely not allowed to
do a Tachila. The question is, once it happens.
Again, that was the language of the Gemara.
Is
right? It's Stone Shachatacha Pesach and Asal Achal Bakuta. So I don't know. I'm not sure how much to be taken by that particular
right.
Term.
So this
little sif packed a big punch. Now it raised the issue of Ben Yoma and Ben Yoma. And it gave the Ramah an opportunity to say clearly that he is Machmir and Ben Yoma. The Mechaber, again, we're not 100% sure. The Mechaber sounds like he's only quoting the Shita of Ben Yoma. But the Gra pointed out, well, maybe it's only this case because it's dry. And I should note, the Taz and Taz Ruki, the Eger go to war here over what does the Mechaber hold. The Taz says, Sivkan Yud. Yeah, that's very shver because in Tarubis, Sivkan Gimel, Mechaber says, Befeir, she even ain't Ben Yoma. Then Ruki is, well, one second, not so fast. So, again, the Gra is helpful because he's pointing out this simon may stand on its own, because here we're talking about what's unique about spices is that they're dry. And then, as the Shach pointed out, what's another thing that's unique and important about and generalizable about this scenario is, on the one hand, he's reinforcing that there needs to be duchta, and the other hand is expanding the definition of duchta to include blunt pressure. Now, in Sif Dalid, the Mechaber quotes an idea that several Rishonim raised, but Yosef and Darkei Moshe quotes this from several Rishonim, both Italian and Ashkenazim, the question of high-volume Kalim. Up until now, some of the cases that came up in Sif Aleph were, and the Ramon Sif Beis, had raised the question of commercially available products. I'm going to buy some sort of sharp product from the Nachri, do I have to worry about what he cut it with? Up until now, the question had been, well, let's say for instance, I'm not even sure, that Ramon raised it in the Sif Aleph. That's an error, I'm not even sure what it was cut with. I have the vegetable, again, a raw vegetable from him, and they're telling me that the tips are cut off by the farming tools. They stuck in a shovel or whatever it was to scoop the radish out of the ground, so it clipped off the bottom. A shovel is not going to, presumably, one hopes, that the shovel is not neither milk nor flesh. That was sort of a something, what type of food? That was the direction went there. Here, the Mechaber Amar quote from the both, I mentioned the Italians and Ashkenazim, it's Rabbeinu Yeshaya, quoted by the Shibboleth HaLeket, and Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ashkenazi Rabbeinu Yonah, not the one that's more famous to us, the Sfardi, the Rebbe of the Rashba, the peer of the Ramban, who wrote, that's the Sfardi one, Rabbeinu Yonah of Girona. He's the one who's famous for writing on Brachas and Bava Basra and writing Shari Tshuva and so forth, Pirush on Pirkei Avos. It should be noted, by the side, those three Mesechtas that we know he wrote on, Brachas, Avos, and Bava Basra. So the Gemara says, Haiman de Boil Mevi Chasida, the Jew wants to go to Nimashur Sin, be a Chasid. Three suggestions the Gemara makes: the Kaimil de Brachas, the Kaimil de Nezikin, and the Kaimil de Avos. Number one, that referred Brachas was a reference to Bidam Lamakom, and Nezikin is a reference to Bidam Lachavero, and Avos is Bidam Latzma. But they are names of Mesechtas, and Rabbeinu Yonah wrote on all three. Different genres of Svarim, and the Avos is Mishnayos, who appears to Mishnayos, and Bava Basra wrote on Elias Rabbeinu Yonah, and then the Brachas he wrote on the Rif. But it's intriguing that the great Chassid, Yonah HaChassid, the author of Shari Tshuva, wrote on all the three Svarim, wrote on the three Mesechtas. But that's not the Rabbeinu Yonah who is quoted typically in Yaradeya. Rama quotes consistently from the Aleph Vav Hey, Iser Vehetzer Ha'orach, which is a sefer written by Rabbeinu Yonah, who was a late Ashkenazi. He lived only, I think, a generation or two or three before the Rama, I think in the 1400s. So he's very impactful in this segment of Yaradeya. So the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Italian court by Shmuel Lekin, and Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ashkenazi, and Iser Vehetzer Ha'orach, both talk about high volume commercial products. May lemons. If you're interested in food history, you can trace it. But the lemons are mentioned by Rabbeinu Yeshaya. So apparently, and not surprisingly, the lemons were commercially available in Italy. So the question is, you have lemons or lemon juice. The Shibboleth HaLeket talks about lemons. You see the Shach right away in Sifkat and Chaf. Quote opens with a quote from the Zel Lashon Shibboleth HaLeket, lemons, shall guy, etc., etc. The way the Shachra quotes is May lemons, lemon juice. So Mevim HaGoyim, so I don't have my own lemons, but they're imported into Italy from wherever else. They're growing them in Greece, wherever they're growing them. They import them into Italy. And we're buying the lemons that have already been cut by the Nachri, or lemon juice, that have been juiced by the Nachri. V'chein chatichos dag maliach, shemeviim hagoyim b'chavios. Barrels of salted fish that are imported by non-Jews. You look in the Shibboleth HaLeket, the Beis Yochanan Shibboleth HaLeket specifically, he talks about a fish called tonina, which I assume may be tuna. So they say those are mutter. How is that possible? How are those mutter? So the Beis Yosef quotes again from the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Darkei Moshe says, and the Yisrael Hetzer says it as well, that when it's high volume, it's not a problem, because we assume the logic is, yeah, by the way, there is a din. Yes, we're machmir for the Ramah says we're machmir for Eilei Yomo. Good. But even if he's not dealing with a sakhi miyuchad, even if there isn't dedicated equipment, so this knife may have been used 2 days ago or 2 hours ago for slicing the bacon for lunch. Okay. So the first couple of lemons were treif. But they did 1,000 lemons. They did 10,000 lemons. They're barrels. They're importing barrels and barrels and barrels of salted tuna. So what's your concern? That before they sliced 3,000 tuna fish, they used it for tarfas? That might be true. So maybe the first fish or two or three were treif. But then the next 2,997 were kasher. They say... So it's a two-step cooling. Number one, to assume that the flavor doesn't last forever. You keep cutting. Eventually, you're done. And number one, and number two, once you make that assumption, so that means if you're dealing with a high volume item, so the vast majority of them were not the first two or three. The vast majority of them are mutter. And then, and I can't distinguish which were the first two or three. It's not like they're in order. So it's batel, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, very good.
So I understand, but the Yemen, you have them, it's fine, but with Aquila, you should rely on this?
Oh, very good, very good. So we're going to come back to that soon, but let me point that for now. You're right. The way we had set up last time, the Aquila, but Yemen, I'm glad you raised that. He said that if you go to market and there are multiple options in the market, so the fact that I choose an option that relies on bitzel, that's my violation in Valkyrie's Chachila. It's considered Chachila when I'm in the store and there are two brands and I'm choosing the brand that relies on bitzel. But if there's only one brand and it relies on bitzel, so we consider that to be B'dievet. The only way to get lemons, I don't have a lemon tree in the backyard. Lemons don't grow in Italy, apparently, or at least there are certain seasons of the year. But they're importing. The Nachrim are importing. There are no Jews who are importing kosher lemons. And there's no option to buy whole lemon and slice it home. This is what there is, certainly if it's May lemons. The lemon juice is already pre-juiced. Or the lemons are sliced. They're cut stuff. Why would they always sell cut lemons? I don't know. Seems like it probably make a lot more sense to sell uncut lemons. It's going to last longer, but whatever. It is what it is. And the Ramah gives the Ramah quotes the rationale. They should be in Harbi Yachad because they're bringing in such an incredible volume of it. Avim Nesru Mitzasan Shenechtu. Even the first few that were cut became Aser with the Sakin Shaldayim. But Nisbat Lubachayim and Nachtachim Acharkach. Their batel and the vast majority of the cut later, the later ones did not become aser. Why? Whatever trefa flavor had been nivla into the knife was exuded and used up on the first few. So most of them are mamish mutter, a handful of them are treif, and but batel baro or batel bashish or whatever. Chen kula mutar.
So with this assumption that there is a finite amount that a knife could actually exude to other foods, how does that, how do we define that? Lots of times our shayla may be, oh, I use this knife, I've used it for flay shifts, but in between I've used it for a bunch of parav, and now... I'm
good.
Cutting some new
power. So the Shach is going to get us into thinking about that. So we're going to finish the Ramah first, and then we'll circle back. So Ramah says, and this is now he's referencing something that he quotes in a later part of the Darkei Moshe. There was a debate in Darkei Moshe. He starts naming. He names names. He says, in this town, Nuremberg, there were Makel, but in other towns there were Machmer. And the Ramah says, oh, and then. By us, in Poland, the Medina Seinu, after talking about Germany, they say, Poloso Samar Miko. And here he gives you, in Darkei Moshe, it gives you more of the local color. Here he sterilizes it a little more. Doesn't mention names, just says, Lochain Ochlum, the Ksas Makobos, some locations, they eat the Kruv, Shakoran Compost. I think that's compost. But that's some sort of sauerkraut, it sounds like. Avagav de Paris, even though it's already chopped. De Paris v'chata. Yesh b'kavar shemachmir b'zeh ve'in l'shanah samit. He says there's what to rely on, but there's what to be machmir about. The Dark Emotion, in the Dark Emotion, he actually questions whether there are Rishonim who expressly disagree with this Chiddush lahalak, this Chiddush lahakil of Rabbeinu Yeshaya. So initially, read the Dark Emotion, initially he says, I think the Raiva disagrees, because they look at this Raiva who talks about things that are caught by the Nachrim, and the Raiva does not hesitate. He says, Aser. Why didn't he say Mutlak Rabbeinu Yeshaya? So initially, Dark Emotion thinks, oh, okay, so maybe this idea that you're pointing out is a Chiddush, that the Talmud gets used up. First of all, Dr. Moshe thinks, I think the Raiva disagrees, and then Dr. Moshe says, no, actually, I take that back, Dr. Moshe says, because if you read the Raiva slowly and carefully, it's not clear that his scenario is a high-volume scenario. That may just be some cottage industry. If there's a... a local non-Jewish family that makes some food in their kitchen... So that's if you're worried about their and it involves the davar charif, which is cut. So there's no kula. Dr. Moshe says this kula of the Shmuel Halakid, the Rabbeinu Yeshaya called by Shmuel Halakid, large volume, barrels of fish, large quantities. I imagine it sounds like an import. So they ship docks and they start taking barrels and barrels and barrels, whatever it is, out of the hull of the ship. So yeah, it could be that they were cut with pay for night, but how many thousands of lemons did they cut? Since it was used for time. Okay.
In other words,
they're
doing it sequentially.
That's his assumption. Right. If after every lemon, I then cut myself another slice
if it's a conveyor belt, where somebody cuts it, somebody squeezes it, and then somebody cuts it.
That's interesting. Right. So this is where history of technology is probably important. The conveyor belt idea had not yet been invented. That's a 19th century invention. So this goes back to the 16th century. So no one was... Dedicated equipment would not be surprising for that. This is before interchangeable parts. This is before Colt. But we said before, we're not always ready to assume. I must say, we're not always ready to assume dedicated equipment. There may be a kitchen with one knife and they use it for different things. But still, if it's the type of item that we intuit is produced en masse, so then it's safe to assume that most likely what happened is they were chopping. So even if the knife had been used previously for tarfas, it was probably then used sequentially, as you said, 1,000 times in a row. That's the type of volume that we're looking at. If that's the type of volume that we're looking at, so then it's reasonable to assume that that's what happened. And then al pi din, we assume that the flavor is used up after the first few. So meila, the robe is mutter, and even the meat is also mutter based on bit. Now, and then the Ramah ends, and then we'll go back to the Shach. Ramah ends by pointing out, even if you're going to be machmir on devarim harifim, like this sauerkraut, the compost of kruv, but shar devarim she'enim harifim. This is on the page of the Torah, this last sentence of the Ramah is based on a later Sifkatan in the Dark Emotion English Sifkatan. Hey? Shar devarim she'enim harifim, kun tapuchim. Olafasos yivashim, dried fruits. So I'm buying dried fruit from the Nachri, dried apples. The dried apples are sliced. Apple rings, that's similar recipes nowadays. Apple rings. So they slice the apples and then they dry them. So again, assuming that you're not worried about the ovens they're using for drying them, or if they look like they're sun-dried tomatoes. So assuming you're not worried about any tray for oil or other tray for ingredients that were used, which is a separate conversation. That's the topic of Simen Kuf Yud Daled. When do you assume that they're, which recipes are assumed to not include tray for ingredients? And that, again, the principles of Simen Kuf Yud Daled apply with Zman HaZeh, but as pointed out in the past, the details are irrelevant with Zman HaZeh because the realities of food technology have totally changed, Bein Lahakel, Bein Lahachmir, mostly Lahachmir, because the way the efficiencies are built into modern food factories where there is interchangeable equipment. So, for instance, nowadays, anything in a can needs hashkacha because you could use the same canning plant, the same steam jacket to can anything. So, you know, it will often, people in hashkacha have told me that you often will show up to do a run of whatever, tomato sauce or potatoes or whatever. And yeah, and 3 hours earlier, they're another company had been there doing clam juice. Mamash. So if you're a massive food company, will own its own canning plant. But many food companies just rent space. So that's sort of an example of, again, how the details of the application of Siman Kuf Yudalet, of questions of what is the recipe, have changed. But again, but the Yesod, he says, assuming that you're not worried about the ingredients in the apples, the only concern is, but what do they slice it with? Here's an apple at a dried apple factory. What were they slicing with? Maybe the guy used the knife for lunch. He used the knife. He's allowed to eat a tray for lunch. So he used a knife to slice his pastrami, to slice his sausage. And then he used a knife to slice all the apples. See, that's true. But if that's true, but this isn't a home-based, you know, they're making, this is not a lemonade stand. If they're making massive amounts of dried apple, so the same svara applies. And the way the Ramban, again, in the Dark Emotion, sort of presents as a sort of a separate paragraph, here he's making it clear that even if you're going to be machmir on Dvarim Harifim, but if it's Dvarim Sha'inim Harifim, it's not a problem.
But this is still a mass quantity.
This is not just a mass. Yeah, it's still mass quantity.
Talking about mass quantity.
Because again, remember, by Dvarim Sha'inim Harifim, what's, you could have said to me, Dvarim Sha'inim Harifim, apples. What's the concern? B'chal, apples, not Dvarim Harifim. So the only concern is, Shabnunus Hakar Shalgab. Is the knife even clean? Who says they're clean the knife? So there it's even easier to say it. Of course it's easier to say about Dvarim Sha'inim Harifim. Because all you need about Dvarim Sha'inim Harifim is to get the surface clean. But that's actually similar in a sense. It's interesting that the Gra doesn't say, you would have expected the Gra to say, oh, this is really a Gemara. Because that's what the Gra often does. The Shav said, this is a Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah and Vavim Beis. This is the last sugya in Avodah Zarah. That this is like the Neitz Bekarka. This is a question of cleaning the surface of the knife. So thrust into something hard packed multiple times, Neitz Bekarka Yudpam cleans the surface. So
you can't assume that they're using a clean knife?
No.
That's not what Metzius does.
Well, if nowadays, yes, but I think the Metzius was back then is that the serrated. The knives were serrated, so they had shamus on it, right?
Right. That again, that's
and
the first pshat Rashi.
It's mass quantity.
And the truth is, Neitz Bekarka requires a certain type of knife. But you're saying if you cut thousands of apples, not 10 times, if you cut thousands and thousands and thousands of apples, whatever's going to come off on an apple came off in the first bunch of apples. If you're doing it, you're getting volume. So then they just you stop worrying about it. Now the shach, you see there's a long shach. So first, seems like it's a pretty straightforward din. The Rambam spent a lot of time explaining the din. So at first glance, you wouldn't expect to say so much. So he starts by quoting the Shibalei Aleka, the Sifkan Chaf. And then he quotes, it says, the Bach says, on the side of the tour, the Bach says, yeah, Avada. This kula of the Shibalei Leket b'shem the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Rabbeinu Yonah, this whole kula of volume, that's if you assume like the first shita in Rashi, there's no, you're not, the Dvar Charav doesn't pull out the bli and the kli, it's just a question of the Shamnunus al Gabav. Yes, the Shamnunus al Gabav, so it all gets cleaned off. The Bach says, but we're Machmir. We're Machmir, even a kli makunach. The very least Ben Yomo. And we're machmir me'am b'yama. Once you're machmir a clean makunach, the tamha nivla and the sakim is coming out. So then he says this whole kula doesn't apply. The whole idea of volume is based on the assumption that all you care about is the surface residue. So the shach takes it Bach to task. He says that is not correct. If you have my edition, which some of you do, some of you don't, at the beginning of the meeting with lines. After the Ad Kan Lashon, there's a long quote from the Shach. L'dayti lishna shibar leket shibatal tam asakin. Mashma mashabalua basakin. He says, with all due respect, read the Shibalei Aleket. He said, the tam asakin is batal. The tamasakin doesn't sound like the surface grease. It sounds like the tam. So he says you're gonna have a high, he says to the Bach, your svara is interesting in svara, but it, you know, the language of the Shmuel Aleka doesn't support it. But then you expect the shach to stop. Say, okay, good. So I accept the machab rama, we're done. Instead, the shach, at first it seems very strange, starts saying, well, we do accept it, but it's going to be limited. First he says, well, maybe it's only lemons aren't quite as charif as other things, so it's not machil l'shvach. Then he goes on to say, well, maybe the Rama is just saying lahatzik is haminik, but we wouldn't really advocate this l'chatchila. And you wonder at first, where's the shach going? He just rejected the Bach. He's comfortable with his din. Then he goes on to explain, after he makes the initial suggestion, that maybe it's only lemons and not quite as harf as stone. So it's not really, the machil l'shvach doesn't last so much, doesn't go so deep. He explains, because here in this edition, it's the end of the narrow line, the end of the meeting with lines. He says, Zem mucha b'divei Rabbi. He says, the truth is, he's bothered by the Rama. He said that this really, what he's really bothered by is the steer in the Rama. It's an interesting steer. He says, this is not the first time that we heard about high volume. I thought it was. I thought, yeah, Sif Gimel is about, Sif Dal about high volume. Okay, interesting, Chiddush. He says, no, we spoke about high volume in Sif Aleph. Where? So the very first line of the Rama of the Siman. What was the first thing the Rama said? This is based on Rishonim. Im Chatochan Dak Dak. No, remember those machlokas Rishonim. How far? One of the core machlokas Rishonim in the sugya is how far does a bliya mispashe? It is only kedei klipa or is it kedei netilo? The Rashi said kedei kulo. But then if it's dak dak, I think this is already a rush. Maybe even Tosis. If you took an onion, you cut it in half. So then there's a machlokas. How far does the bliya spread? And only the Rashi is the one who says the whole onion becomes treif, milchik, fleishik, whatever. But if you dice the onion, so then of course everything is nivla with whatever the tama knife is, because if it's diced, every piece that was at some point within a kedek klipa of the knife. So the shach says, "What? One second, stop and think for a moment. What do you mean you diced it? I mean you chopped and chopped it. You didn't do that in one fell swoop. You cut it many, 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 many times. So to say that every single bit." Every single dice, whatever, every single there's a tiny speck was toch de klipa of the knife. Yeah, but that may have been on the seventh or the tenth or the 50th chop. So he says, don't you? The Rama in Sif Aleph is assuming that nothing is disappearing. That not we don't. It's not like an asymptotic decay. We're assuming that the tam of Balua is chai v'kayim. It just keeps going. So as Shach says, what I'm really bothered by is a steer with your Rama and Sifal, Rama and Sifdal. Yeah, Sifdal, he says, high volume, it's fine. It wears out after a while. But Sifal, it's a dak dak nish. Interesting.
Yeah, but maybe the knife, when you dice, you don't use the whole knife. You use a little bit of the knife, touched it. But when you have to cut through a whole lemon, or you're cutting through it's a much wider area. It's going to get much more of the knife to actually, and you have to get through the whole, you have to get through the peel of the lemon, so you're going to have to, if you move, you have to move it back and forth.
Yeah.
So and versus chopping, it may not touch the same part of the knife, and that's why he's concerned with chopping, it's not batel, because it doesn't, may not touch it may not touch the same part of the knife, so they're good. So one got the tip, one got the middle, one got the closer near the blade when you chop.
Yeah,
very rarely you chop exactly like you're not a perfect robot, but you're chopping the exact same area over and over again.
Right.
Well, you cut through a lemon. You gotta move back and forth. You're really much more. After two or three, you've gotten the whole knife got all affected and it got all cleaned off.
That's an interesting point. Right. So to think about. Again, the
surface
shach,
area. How much of your surface area?
Right. Can I differentiate between the cases? The shach is assuming it's all the same case. The two cases are equivalent. And we have to say either Either the difference is lemons aren't quite the same as tsunot.
Right. He says it's a difference in the harifas, and that's why. Right.
Or maybe here it's only he's being matzik the minig. After all, the Ramah, and that second approach to Shach is somewhat borne out by the fact that Ramah goes on to say that, look, by this sauerkraut, this compost, is yesh nogin v'yesh nogin. The apples are not charif, I'm damn comfortable with. But otherwise, yesh nogin v'yesh nogin. So that leads the Shach to his second suggestion, that the Ramah really isn't so happy about it here either. He says, look, some places have the minig is where the lemons were made. Okay, so there's an argument to be made, but he wouldn't really advocate. But you're saying, maybe the different cases, and like maybe the difference is not in the item, the davar charif, the lemon versus tznon. So you say maybe it's in the way you cut. Yes, maybe it's the way you cut. And let me add two more suggestions. Two other differences about the method of cutting. Number one, you're saying that there may be a difference in terms of how much the knife was used. There may also be a difference. The whole svara, again, of the heter of the lemons and the salty tuna fish is the massive volume. Doc, I don't know, how many times do you cut an onion? One, two, three. Okay. Let's say a quarter, you eighth it. Or let's say you have it, right? Okay, it's one. And then you'll cut across, and you'll cut the other. Even if your mom is dicing like that, how many times do you cut across? I don't know. 10 across is quite a bit. That's pretty fine. So 10 across and 10 across, and the other half 10 and 10. So it's 41 cuts. That's a lot. I'm not sure that's quite the same as the... I assume that, again, I was saying before, the lemons and the fish, they must be by the thousands. So, that's really dome in terms of... Not in terms of how much the knife is used, but the number of cuts. It may be several orders of magnitude off. You slice an onion, that's, let's say, 40. And that's, I think, generously high. But even dicing an onion is 41 cuts... But here we're talking about thousands.
Right, but
yeah.
I feel like that's, meaning our modern day age, like we think of things in the thousands and
yeah.
mass quantity. But here, could have been that we're talking about.
How big? You're saying how big is the.
In regard to
right, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. I would make one other point, though, and that brings it back to the Chatchila B'dyavad, which is. Not only is there a difference, perhaps, in terms of the item that's being cut, as the Shach says initially, and there's a difference in terms of how the blade is being used, and how many times, there may or may not be a difference in terms of how many times the blade is being used. There's one other difference also. We spoke about the kli, we spoke about the food item. Who have we not yet spoken about? The person. Who's cutting it in Sif Dalad?
Anachri.
Who's cutting it in Sif Alf? Probably a Jew, right? So that's the chetchila b'dyavad. In other words, to say, well, I'm going to cut it doc, to say that I'm going to cut it doc, that might be a problem of bittul isser lechatchila. Is that
no, problem? But the Ramah goes right after the right after the comment from the Shulchan Aruch says,
"Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good
so
point."
The Ramah seems to link them together.
You're saying so about both.
It may be talking about both, so that distinction may not be accurate. And
that's a good point. Plus, he's talking about Bidyev in the sense it's already been chopped. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I retract that. Okay. So the who's doing the cutting? Even if it may not even be. Yisrael is doing the cutting, even if it is, Lamaisi is presenting as being a Bidyeva situation. And he may be using a trefa knife. Okay, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. Maybe let's should we wrap up the simon now? One more sip. Our item is ready to go. Just take another 5-10 minutes. Here he goes back to the Gemara. The Gemara had said that if you cut non-sharp vegetables, you're cutting lefes, you're cutting kishuim, so then all you need is greda. You need to scrape. And if you're cutting lefes, so then you don't need anything.
I mean, lefes, that's a turnip or something?
Well, lefes is a turnip, I think so, yeah.
And you can consider one turnip is less sharp than the...
It's sweet. Lefes is sweet.
Yeah.
Well... In other words, why does one need greater and one needs...
Let's take a look. Chatach kishum, here it's in the Sifei. Chatach kishum besakin shal basa. If I cut melons or cucumbers with a fleshik knife, mutal achan b'chalav, begreda bilvad. All I need to do is to be goreid. What does that mean, to be goreid? She yigrod min mekom achetach. I have to scrape away the spot where it's cut out. First is, what does greda mean? It sounds a lot like klipa. So the Shach quotes what the Beis Ozrei quoted, which is the Ran, in Sifkat and Chaf Aleph, just in terms of what the words mean. Begreda levad hu pachas miklipa, it's less than a peel. Sha klipa tzar shetei gasa ketzas kedei shetu chali na tel ku lo keachan. Klipa, netila was an inch. Klipa can be as thin as you want, as long as it's thick enough that it comes off as one. So like when people peel away the whole orange peel in one piece. So whatever you're slicing, you're slicing thick enough that it can come off as a intact layer, as opposed to greda. Greda means that I'm just scraping like this. I hold the knife perpendicular to the surface of the melon. I'm just going like this. Because all I'm trying to do, he goes on to quote from the Rishonim, greda is really the equivalent of hadacha. It's just that if you have a soft item, a soft vegetable, rinsing it is going to be counterproductive. Instead of removing the surface residue, rinsing a porous vegetable is going to dry the residue in. What I'd rather do instead is remove everything on the surface. But it's not that there's any blia. So that's why kedei klipa means that there's a little bit of blia, enough blia that I need, it went in kedei klipa, that number of millimeters. And the way Mishayer is if it's thick enough that it comes off as one layer, that's the amount, that's the depth I need to remove. Here, I just really need to get the surface off. Just the only way to get the surface off is to scrape. Chatach bo lefes. If I slice lefes, I feel a greda no tzarcha. I don't even need greda. Why? Ela hadacha. All I need is to rinse the surface. This has been a discussion we've shown him, and that's what Shachar assumes. You do need to rinse the surface, because we're worried about assuming that the knife is, presumably, we're talking about a case where the knife is, if the knife is potentially greasy or filmy, then we have to remove anything from the surface, but that's it. Nothing beyond that. We're not dealing with Dvarim Harifim. That's it. Then below, the Shachar even has, even quotes the din of the Gemara. The Gemara, it sounds like it said, that once I quote, cut a lefes, I feel it's a known Shachatach achar lefes, Shari b'hadacha kemo halefes. If I cut a lefes and then I cut a tznon, then the tznon doesn't need any more than lefes. Why if yishat tam halefes meshuna u'mevatel tam haniflet mesach? That's the Gemara that said that the pasach bay, if I cut it with if I use a knife to cut the lefes, so the sweet flavor of the lefes is sort of quirky, and it'll counterbalance the sharpness of the tznon. Now here the post comes say it's dafka, that's dafka where I'm going back and forth and back and forth. It's not like if I do a left, I cut out a fleshik knife with the lefes once, now it's koshered. No, it's koshered. If it still has it still has the aroma, whatever, it just had contact with the lefes, so that'll throw off the sharpness of the tzanon that it cuts next. And that's why also the Rav Mal goes on to say, dafka lefes shetav mashuna. This is not a general principle that I cut anything. The lefes has a funny flavor. Again, the Torah quote that the Beis Ozrei points at different approaches than we've shown him, but this is a the Rama assumes that it's something unique about the lefes. It's not just that it's cleaning it. Again, if I do it, if I cut 1,000 or maybe 100 apples or lemons, so then it raises what to talk about that it's permanently whatever tom there is, not only the surface residue, but even the absorbed tom is permanently erased. But if I'm just cutting something once or twice, cutting a yerek or lechem, a shard varm is not going to kosher the knife even temporarily. Then even lefes, he goes on to say, ein lahatel lachto tzorak pamachas. If I cut it with lefes, I get one free cut of a davar charv. Lo harbe pa'amim, im lo shachata kol pa'am lefes ben chatichas tzenon l'tzenon. The only way you're going to be able to use a knife extensively for a davar charv is to go back and forth. It's sort of like a wine tasting or cheese tasting, where you're going back and forth with a piece of bread to clear your palate. So, but they obviously only last once. And then so here too, you'll be going back, not quite the same, but you're going back and forth. Every time you cut lefes, then you get one free cut of the tznut. So a funny din. Okay. A lot of important yesodos, a lot of important practical scenarios, and practical, sometimes somewhat subtle criteria that come into play in the world of davar charav. We're now looking, Mirtz Hashem, at the Siman Sadi Zayin. We're going to move forward this week into Siman Sadi Zayin. We'll divide Siman Sadi Zayin, even though it's only three Seifim, in sort of two separate segments. The first two Seifim, we're back in the world of Dinim Drabanan Siyagim. That's where we had started. Peches Peites had been the Siyagim to Bas B'chalav. There had been the waiting, and they're not keeping serving them on the same table. Here we get back to an additional din drabanan, which is not to have milchig bread or fleishig bread. So we'll get to that. That'll be the focus of Sifim Aleph and Beis. A fish of Sif Gimel is around about also, but what Sif Gimel really introduces is the question of ovens. I have bread in an oven with flesh. So is that fleishig bread? Now that's a question about this din drabanan of fleishig bread. There's also a larger question about ovens. So that's coming up. Those are coming attractions in Mirtz Hashem. I'm looking forward to Siman Sadi Zayin.